Good morning. Very warm welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to this service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome to you seated in the congregation this morning. Welcome to all those worshipping via Zoom, and also to those who will be listening to the recording on our website. We've come together this morning to worship and to thank God for our lives and for all that He has done for us and continues to do. But first, let's take our call to worship from Psalm 18, the verses 1 to 6. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, hymn number 63. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for everything you have done and continue to do for us. You loved us so dearly that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to live amongst us, teach us, love us, and set us a wonderful example. We thank you so much that he died for us, rose again, and now sits at your right hand as he continues to love us and be with us. We long to love you too, Lord. Help us to learn more about you and work out how we can serve you better. But we are sorry, Lord, that we haven't always behaved as your followers and children. We have paid too little attention to what we could learn from you and have neglected to love and serve our neighbors as well as we might have done. Too often we have paid lip service only to your goodness and have gone our way rather than yours. We humbly ask your forgiveness. And we pray that you will help us to turn our lives round, and from here on, we may truly be said to be your servants. We ask these things in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power, 442, our next hymn. Hello, children. Good morning. Good morning. How are you today? Good? I brought some bags with me to church this morning, and I want us to find out what is in those bags. I'm going to ask each one of you to take one of these bags. Do you want to come? Take any bag. Come on. Okay. Don't open your backs until I ask you to do so. Now, let me begin by asking you, what are you good at? What do you like to do, and what do you do best? Yes. Football. Wonderful. Yes. Gymnastics. Football. Two footballers. We have two footballers in the church. Please take note. Piano. Football. So three footballers. One pianist, one gymnast. Very good. So how often do you do what you like doing best? And how do you improve on that? Yes? Every day you play football in school. That's wonderful. Which school do you go to? Newport Primary. Good. Yes? And Sundays, what time on Sundays?
In the morning.
You are very good. You play football in the morning, come to church in the morning. That's beautiful. Well done. Yes?
Every day at school.
So I will take those are your gifts or those are your talents which you enjoy doing. What about school? Class, school work. Yes?
Maths.
Oh, wow. Good. So do you solve maths a lot? Yes?
Stories.
Do you like writing stories? So just writing stories. I would like to read one of your stories. Yes?
Maths.
That's very good. Okay, now I'm going to digress a bit and ask you to open your bags. You come with your bag. Come with your bag. Yes, come. What's in your bag? Just remove and show to the congregation. Oh, okay. And it's sweet. Good. All right. Let me take your own bag. Yes, come on. What's in your bag? Okay. Wow. Oh, they are still coming. Ah. Still more? Oh, my. How many items are these?
Five
items. How many are yours?
Four.
Okay, put that in your bag. It's yours, okay? Five and four, okay. Let me take another one. Bring yours, let's see. One. Two. Three, four, and five. How do you feel about your bags? You all feel good? Is it fair?
No.
That's not fair at all. Why is it not fair? Yes. You have? Oh, you are so kind. And you are the one saying it's not fair. You have the most. But you are saying it's not fair. So you have more than the other two. Now, Jesus spoke in parables. And I want to talk briefly about two parables. There is the parable of the talents and the parable of the landowner who gave the equal pay to people who had worked for a different number of hours. Some had worked only for 1 hour. Some worked for 5 hours, but he gave them the same pay. Now, in the parable of the talents, there was a man who wanted to go away, and he decided to give money to some of his servants. Some he gave £1, others he gave £2, others £3, others £5. And one of them, say the one with £1, took his own and buried it. When the master came back, all the others brought their pounds plus something added to it because they had multiplied it in a way. But the one who buried his own brought back the same amount and said, I know you are a crafty man, so I decided to bury mine and bring back the same amount. So the question is, what do you do with the things that God has given you? Yes? Take care of them. Wonderful. Let us put our hands together for that brilliant answer. You take care of the things that God has given you. In other words, it's called stewardship, yes? You use them. Good. You use them. You don't bury them. You use them. You take care of the things God has given you. You use them. Now, how many of you get money from your parents? How many of you get money, cash? Yes. You get money. What do you do with the money? You keep it, and when you need it, you use it. That's a wonderful formula. Keep it, when you need it, you use it. We are learning something this morning from these children. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You keep it, when you need it, you use it. And so, in learning about our talents and the gifts that God has given us, we must take note that when we have a gift, we need to put it into use. And we don't need to use it only for ourselves, but also for others. We cannot bury them. If we bury our talents, we will have nothing. Secondly, not everybody has the same gifts. Not everybody has the same gifts. Some have bigger ones, some have smaller ones, and the gifts are always different. You cannot look at the gift of somebody and be jealous of that one. You should make use of the one that God has given you. Now, we are Christian children. Maybe you can sing. You should use your voice to sing. Maybe you like playing the piano or even the organ. Please help us to play some days, especially when Hannah takes a leave. You can go to the organ and play for us. Whatever God has blessed you with, you should be able to put it into use. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children, and we thank you for the love that you have for us and for them. As young as they are, O Father, they are able to understand basic rules about stewardship of resources, gifts, talents, and things that are entrusted to them. We pray, O God, that you nurture those gifts. Bless them so that they will in turn be a blessing to our communities. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We sing again our next hymn, Jesus Bids Us Shine with a Pure, Clear Light.
Now, before our young people leave, just wanted to make a quick announcement. Thank you, Amos, for doing amazing children's talk. Thank you for your amazing answers. That was great. We have our stewardship fair that we've been telling you about the last few weeks this afternoon, just in the church hall. People have been working really hard to get their stalls ready. Please come along. Even if you've only got 5, 10, 15 minutes in your afternoon, come along. It's between 2:30 and 4:30. And you can come and discover what our church is all what we're doing right now and what we hope to do in the future, and we'd love to hear from you. There'll be a few unmanned stalls that you can write down your ideas of what we can do and how we can serve as a church as well to our community and beyond. So why don't you come along and find out a little bit more? Another thing I wanted to make a quick announcement about is our church weekend away. And it's only a month and a half, maybe 2 months away. If you're wanting to book on, please go onto our website, create an account, log in, and tell us that you'd like to go and what activities you'd like to be about. So go onto the website, also to find out more information, but create an account and log in, and you can let us know that we're going. So thank you so much.
The first reading this morning can be found in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. And what did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly even evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Second reading this morning is from Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. The parable of the workers in the vineyard, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. We thank the Lord for his holy word. Let's sing together hymn 550, "As the Deer Pants for the Water."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of this worthy landowner in Matthew chapter 20 are quite captivating. You take your pay and leave. Don't I have the right to do whatever I want with my money? That is how he responded to the first workers who had worked the whole day but received the same wage as those who worked only an hour. It's very, very unfair, isn't it? The parable of the landowner is set within a familiar context in Israel where grapes were one of the most important crops in the land. And Jesus Christ uses the vineyard to represent the sphere of worldly activity. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And here, our Lord Jesus Christ is giving an idea of the activity of the kingdom in the world. He pictures harvest time, when a landowner hired seasonal workers to help with his harvests. The amount that was agreed, a denarius, was expected, because a denarius was a day's wage for a laborer. The ancient workday was typically divided into 3-hour increments, running from about 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the landowner hired the first workers at the beginning of the day to work the entire day. At the third hour, that's about 9 a.m., the landowner needed more laborers for his abundant harvest. So he went back to the marketplace and found people still waiting for the chance to work. Families in the ancient world often went day to day, earning only enough for food for that day. If they did not find work, they would not have enough to eat. So they continued to wait for someone to hire them. And these laborers agreed to work for whatever is right, expecting most likely to receive a proportionate reduction from the day's regular denarius. The abundance of the harvest was such that the landowner went again at the sixth hour at 12 noon and the ninth hour at 3 p.m. And needing more laborers, the landowner went back to the town marketplace and found workers who were desperate enough to remain waiting for work. It was the 11th hour, 5 p.m., close to the end of the workday. These workers would have expected only 1/12 of the amount of those who worked for the denarius. They were also hired to work in the vineyard. At the end of the day, we are told in that parable or story, when the steward of the landowner paid the wages, a shocking development ensued. The laborers who were hired last were paid the full denarius, the wages expected for a full day's work. Now, this raised expectations for those who worked longer, because they started imagining, well, we will have more cash. If they pay this much to these people who worked only an hour, then we would have more. But that was not to be the case. Those who worked the entire day received the same wage as those who only worked an hour, and so the former protested that the latter had not worked as hard and as long, and so did not deserve equal treatment. I think they were right, or were they not? The pay ought to be proportionate to work done. But the landowner was a gentleman, and he was quite intentional in the lesson he wanted to teach. He called one of the grumbling workers friend and drew his attention to the fact that he did not have a regular job, and so getting the denarius they had agreed upon at the beginning was more than what he would have had at the end of the day, except for the fortunate intervention of the landowner. He should simply be thankful that he had enough to care for the day's needs for his family. Take your pay and leave. There is a lot about this parable. Now, imagine the corporate executive's reaction to a parable like this one. If reimbursement is not commensurate with hours of work, then how will I motivate my employees? And if I can't motivate my employees, how will I sell my product, serve my clients, and turn my profit? Or imagine the committed worker who puts in the long hours. Well, we do not really need to imagine this, since Jesus describes him for us. This last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. It's just not fair. If that is how it is going to be, why shouldn't we just lazy around all day long and get to work at 4 o'clock in the evening and still get the same pay with others who started at 9 a.m.? Jesus Christ, the hard-working, selfless Savior, in this parable seems to undermine the great Protestant work ethic, which I understand is the foundation of development in the Western world. And this parable sounds scandalous. It reminds us of what the older son experiences in the parable of the prodigal son. It is not fair for the father to lavish all his attention upon the younger son and treat him as the honored guest after he has brought immeasurable shame upon the family. It is not fair at all. And if parents everywhere acted like this father or the landowner, there would be so much chaos in the world. If people like the landowner were allowed to run our businesses in that way, nothing would ever get done. Both the father and the landowner appear to enable inappropriate behavior. They are strange models of parenting and of vineyard management. But in what way exactly are they models? Dear Christian friends, we must resist the temptation to extract universal principles of behavior from Jesus' parables, forgetting the specific concern to which they are directed in the narrative. In this case, the attentive audience would have noticed that Jesus is never asked a question like, "How should I run my vineyard?" Or what kind of wage should I expect as a vineyard worker? In fact, Jesus is never asked a question at all. He has been teaching about the kingdom of heaven for quite some time. And in describing the kingdom to his disciples, he must use human categories and analogies. No single parable, not even all the parables, can fully capture the kingdom of heaven for us, but we can learn something about it if we listen carefully. I wish to note that the central issue in the narrative was the self-centeredness of the laborer. He was only thinking about himself, not about the generosity and intervention of the landowner or the fortune of the other laborers. He was right in the normal scheme of things. But Jesus Christ used that story to illustrate how the kingdom of God works. Our God is open, receptive, compassionate, and loving. And all those who come to him find their place in his kingdom. No matter when they come or how they come, they just need to come. You remember when Peter requested for preferential treatment in Matthew 19:27, "We have left everything to follow you. What then shall be our reward?" The disciples thought more time spent following Jesus meant more space in the kingdom. But that is not how God works. Although Peter and his friends were the first to give up everything to follow Jesus, Jesus Christ includes all true disciples as having done the same thing simply because they have come and they have come to him. It is as if Jesus said to his disciples, "You have received the great privilege of coming into the Christian church very early, right at the beginning. In latter days, others will come in. You must not claim a special honor and a special place because you were Christians before they were. All people, no matter when they come, are equally precious to God." Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, they are foundational members of every congregation and church. But others come at different times, including those who are called to lead the church in one way or the other. But often, we find people in some churches who think that because they have been members for a long time, the church practically belongs to them, and they can dictate what goes on at every time. Such people sometimes resent what seems to them the intrusion of new blood or the rise of a new generation with different plans and different ways of doing things. No matter when people join the church, late or soon, in the first flush of youth, in the strength of the midday, or when the shadows are lengthening, they are equally dear to God. That is the compassion and the grace of our God. This parable, the parable of the workers in the field, reminds us that people have always expressed anger for what seems unfair. It also reminds us that God's view of fair is not the same as our human understanding, and that's quite a positive thing for us. As forgiven people, we don't get what we deserve, and that saves our souls. All who respond to the grace of God in Jesus' kingdom invitation are equal disciples, and we must be careful not to measure our worth by what we have done and what we have sacrificed. Jesus loves every one of you seated in this congregation, or listening to me from the comfort of your homes, or listening to the recording of this message. He loves us with the same love. He cares for us, and he invites us to come to him. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your love for us and for your love that has no boundaries. We thank you, O God, for our Christian faith and journey, and especially for our congregation. We thank you for those who've been here for a very long time, for those who've recently joined us, and for those who are still to come. And Father, we know that you open your arms and you receive all of us, and you treat all of us as your children. We ask that you will bless us with open hearts, O Father, to recognize one another, to love one another, to accept one another through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you. 694, our next hymn. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we bring ourselves to you and our gifts of money. It is only a portion of all that you have blessed us with. Take our money to do your work in the world and for building up of your kingdom here on earth. Father, we pray for the whole church and for the world. We come to you weary and carrying heavy burdens. Some of us bear the yoke of illness, and so we lift to you our needs for healing and for others in need of being made well. Some of us are caregivers, and we bear the yoke of caring for those who can't care for themselves. Enable us not to grow weary in doing good, continuing to love and serve with our compassion. Some of us bear a yoke of loss and grief. Comfort all who grieve with your presence and love, and through those of us who bear the name of Christ. Compassionate God, there are other yokes too. For some of us bear the yoke of unemployment or underemployment. Some of us bear the yoke of hunger. Some of us bear the yoke of homelessness. Some of us bear the yoke of violence. Some of us bear the yoke of anger. Some of us bear the yoke of loneliness. Some of us bear the yoke of depression. Some of us bear the yoke of addiction. Free us from these and other yokes as we pray for rest. We pray for healing. We pray for release. And we pray for wholeness. Father, we pray for your worldwide church, asking especially for your blessing as we serve you in the world. We bring before you our concerns about situations in places such as Ukraine and others which may not currently be in the news headlines, but are no less important. We pray for world leaders, that they may be inspired less by parochial matters than wider ones. We pray too for our own country, for the King, Charles, the Prime Minister, and cabinet members, some of who carry a heavy responsibility for taking the country forward at this difficult time. We remember too the places in which we live, work, and see our families and friends. We ask your blessing on our efforts to care for those in need during these times of deep economic crisis in the world. May we prayerfully support those public bodies who are leading the provision of help in our own localities. We remember in our prayers those who are in poor physical or mental health, and give thanks to those who look after them. We remember those suffering in other ways, especially those who mourn the deaths of family members and of friends. And we pray for ourselves. At the start of a new week, that we shall develop our spiritual selves and learn always to serve our communities better. Dear Father, remind us this week of our calling. Remind us of our common creed that all people are created equal. Inspire us to ensure that all your children enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thank you, Jesus. You have listened to our prayers, and we know that you will answer us according to your love, the love that you had and have for all your children. Take the glory, the honor, and the power, now and evermore. Amen. If you are able, please rise and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, a final hymn.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.